I want to again thank the Lord for another week. The weeks are passing rather quickly, and I'm thinking that in 2 days it will be 5 months since the Lord has brought me into this place. And I do not know why, but I'm sure that God has a purpose and a reason. So I want to say before I begin that God is using this to speak to me, and also I feel that, again, that I am preaching to myself. So the title we have for our little thought this afternoon is Questions. I am thinking about communication of human beings, and it's really been a blessing from the beginning of time. God created Adam and Eve to communicate with him, and he communicated with them. I'm thinking of how that Adam and Eve were actually very proficient in communication right upon creation, and that God wanted to have a relationship with them, and much of it was through communication. I'm thinking just in my imagination of how pleasant it must have been for Adam and Eve to walk and talk with God. You and I may walk with God, but not in the same way. We may talk with God. I believe they talked with God verbally. I know that they were walking with him physically. And in that communication with God, it must have been very pleasant. So to have a walk and a talk with God is very important for his people, for you and me, in this day. It won't be in the same way. You and I do not walk by our feelings or by our mind or our thoughts, but we still want to have a relationship with God that we can commune with him. And in the series of these messages, we've had messages concerning God's love in silence, where we don't really hear his voice, we don't feel his presence, but yet we are continuing to endeavor to walk and talk with God. So I'm thinking about the word questions. Don't you think that Adam and Eve had many questions that they wanted answers to? I believe that God wanted to give them answers, and he gave them answers. And he not only satisfied their questions, but he also added, I believe, a peace of mind to Adam and Eve and their experience. And so the questions are probably more common today that we might have, and they're a big part of our learning, a big part of our understanding, for without questions, how would we ever have answers? So our little message today will include our communication with God as we pass through all of the events of our life, and I believe that that the events that we pass through is what will create or generate questions before God. As we're endeavoring to understand or know better the mind of the Lord, there are many kinds of questions. There are some that are profitable and some that are beneficial. Some questions are unprofitable. The scriptures calls some questions foolish and unlearned questions, and some of our questions may have no answers in this time world, and other questions may, the answers may be delayed and we have to wait for them. And that was all part of one of the messages that has already been given. Some questions are really better left unsaid, only maybe at the time that we are having the feelings or the thoughts, then we don't feel that they are unimportant. We may ask the questions to not really realize how it is not important for us to ask those questions. I believe that God invites us to inquire of Him. I believe that He wants us to make our requests known unto God. And with that statement, we know that God wants us to pray. Well, many of our questions are asked when we pray. So we are making our requests known unto God. I believe God wants communication. I believe He wants verbal expressions of our feelings. I believe, well, I not only believe this, the word of the Lord says that He knows our thoughts. He knows our intentions. It even says He knows our thoughts afar off. So God already understands what is in our minds if we have questions. But I believe that God wants to have communication with His people. A scripture in Psalms 19 and 14, it says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and redeemer." So I believe that our words and our thoughts, we may not realize it every day, but they're very important. They're actually a part of our communication with God. Just the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts. So another scripture that I have used in my personal communication with God is Hosea 14 and 2. And it simply says this: "Take with you words and turn to the Lord." I believe that our words, no matter the language of any culture, God understands the vocabulary, the words of every nation, every nationality. God is able to commune with them. I'm so thankful that He doesn't only communicate in English. I'm glad for all of the other languages of the world that God is able to understand. But you can count it a great blessing that God understands your language. And then we can turn to the Lord. We take with us words and we turn to the Lord. And the latter part of that verse says, "Receive us graciously, so we will render the calves of our lips." When I studied that out, the calves of our lips, I didn't know what that would represent or mean, but calves were represented as the animal of sacrifice unto the Lord. So we could change that a little bit and not do damage to the scripture. We can render the sacrifice of our words or our lips. I could also mean the fruit of our words or lips. So I know that God fully understands my thoughts, even if I don't express them, but He wants me to express my thoughts, my questions. He wants communication with me. And often communication is the result of our life experiences, or it can happen, and our life experiences Well, the scripture says that we don't know what a day will bring forth. And the truth is, we don't know what sometimes a minute will bring forth, or the next hour. So our life experiences can change or happen sometimes in a moment. And sometimes we feel very unprepared when it comes on us suddenly. I read this statement and I felt like that it was worthy of mentioning. A key invitation to our spiritual journey is to be emotionally honest about our uncertainties. When I speak of uncertainties, that's those moments, experiences that may happen in a moment. And uncertainties, I'm going to say 9 times out of 10, create a major question. And that question is, why? Why did this happen to me? So I believe God honors a question of why. I don't believe he is saying, don't ever ask me why this happened to you. Whether he has a purpose and a reason that he wants to communicate back at the moment, chances are that will only happen in time. It's not very often that we go before the Lord after a life experience that happened in a moment and we feel very unprepared and we say, Lord, why? Why did you allow this to happen to me? Do we hear an answer? Most of the time, not. But the scriptures are full of people that had life experiences that they didn't understand. And they ask this question, why? So these that are represented in the Bible that you and I can read about, and I'm going to give you just a few, for there's many. But even though these were spiritual and godly people, they still had sometimes a question as to why it happened to them. I'm going to say this, that chances are none of us will leave this world without passing through places where we will also ask the question, why? Why did this happen to me? Would like to mention Moses. I'm going to first of all say what the word of the Lord says about him. It says that he was a chosen vessel unto the Lord. He was called the meekest man, and the scripture says, above all of the men which were upon the face of the earth. So that fairly identifies the kind of man he was. He was a man that really trusted in God, trusted his word, followed him. He was just not a man that God couldn't trust. God trusted him. Yet in his humanity, he wondered why about some things. So in Numbers 11 and 11, this is the verse, it says, and Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? You could change that word wherefore and say, why? Why have you afflicted me? And the latter part says, and wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight? Again, you could say, and why have I not found favor in your sight? So Moses had questions about events that happened along the way as he was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. He passed through some very difficult places, places where he questioned, and whether God always gave the answer. The scripture does not indicate that God will give answers to all of our questions. But it's still part of our communication with God. It's already been said in some other messages how that God sometimes gives answers. He sometimes requires a waiting time to receive the answer. And then other times the answer is simply denied. So I'd like for us to consider David now. David offered many questions before God. He had questions when he was broken. He felt broken. He was disappointed. When he was distressed and troubled. And he offered questions also when he could not see a way out. He had questions also when he had to endure a lot of things before he came to the place he was called to the throne. But David poured out his heart in many places through Psalms, and he offered some very painful, point-blank questions. I'm going to give you one from Psalms 10 and 1. David said, "Why standest thou afar off, O Lord?" Well, this scripture could have been used in the message about, and I'm referring to it a little bit more as we go along, of God's love in silence, when you don't feel his presence. David did not feel the presence of the Lord. He felt like he was standing afar off. And he said, "Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble?" So sometimes David did receive answers, but sometimes there was simply silence. But according to David's testimony, what kind of man was he? He indicated that he retained his faith in God. And in 1 Samuel 13 and 14, David was called a man after God's own heart. So that's the kind of man David was. We've already spoken about Job in a previous message. But I want to give you one of his questions for the sake of the little message today. Job 7 and 20. Job said, "Why have you made me your mark?" Or your target is the reference on there. Job felt like he was a target, that everything was against him. We may feel sometimes that everything is against us. We may, and I have felt this way. I've looked back over the last 40 years of my life. I've recalled, I've even experienced in my feelings and my mind and how I felt maybe when I was preaching the word of God, and how it was such a reality in my heart, and I believed it. And some of you have reminded me over and over of what I would say when we would anoint anyone with oil according to the word of God, and how that I would often say, "I truly believe in this." And yet there have been times through this that that's all been a contest. A feeling has been contested, a thought or a memory. And yet God is still in control. We say those kind of things, and it's very difficult to always believe it. But yet we know in our hearts that God is still in control. So when you think about Job, I want to remind us of the compliment, the high compliment that God made for Job. He called him a righteous man. I want to be called a righteous woman. Don't you want to be called righteous by God? So again, I want to mention, which came from the message of God's love in silence, is Jesus himself. And again, Jesus was the Son of God. He had power with God. He was God in the flesh. He himself cried with a loud voice before he died, "Why have you forsaken me?" So I believe that we all may be tempted to ask the question, why, when our spiritual journey is maybe hard and difficult, we find ourselves in a difficult place, and we may be required, though, to wait for an answer. It may be, again, in silence. So I want to consider next who God is and who we are. God is the potter, and you and I are just the clay. So I'm going to give you three little phrases from three scriptures and combine them. Two are in Isaiah, Isaiah 64 and 8, and Isaiah 45 and 9. And Jeremiah 18 and 6. And it says, "We are the clay and the work of thy hand." The next verse says, "Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou?" And the last verse says, is the answer, "Can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord?" He wants to form us and fashion us, and he wants to make us into vessels that will honor him. And so he is doing that with those things that he allows in our life. Now, I've told this before, but I want to tell it again. It was a number of years ago. At that time, was passing through a very hard and difficult place. And I believe that will be the story of our walk with God, going from battle to battle, from strength to strength, from victory to victory. But at this particular time, I was really needing something from the Lord. I had read a book. I read it to a point, and I became disenchanted with it and put it down. And another time, the Lord made me to know to finish the book, and it spoke to me. And in this book, and it was a true story, the woman had a dream, and she looked up and saw a little hut in the field, and the door was open, and she walked in. And there was a potter that was working with clay. And he did not speak to her. He didn't even really look up as he was working on the clay. But about that time, a beautiful clay pot fell from the shelf behind him and broke into many pieces. The potter reached down and picked up all of the broken pieces, and he dipped his hand in a molten liquid, and he put all of the pieces back together. And then he looked up to the woman and he said, "Better is a mended pot, mended by the Holy Spirit, than a pot that is never broken." There may come times in our life that we feel broken. But if we will, I'm going to say, ask the right questions, I believe that the Lord can put us back together and make us stronger. So maybe after we have asked the questions, why, and maybe we haven't gotten the answers, maybe we should ask the questions, what or how? So the what and the how questions, I believe they would indicate that more of a trust in what God is doing in our lives and for what purpose. So instead of asking, Why has this affliction come on me? Why has God allowed this? Why must I pass through this great trial? Maybe we should be asking questions like, what do you want me to learn from this trial? What good do you want to come from this? What testimony will I have? What are you trying to teach me? Or we might say, how can God use this to his glory? Or how can my weakness manifest God's power? I want to confess to you that I've had many weak moments in the last 5 months. My caregivers, they know my low places. They have seen it. And yet God has helped me over and over and brought me out again and again. So if we ask the right questions, maybe it would turn our thoughts away from the question of why, or which may or may not have an answer. But if we ask the right questions, maybe we can have an answer that will satisfy us as we endure whatever we're passing through. Remember, all that you and I learn in this journey, it will be learned through and by the school of affliction. There's three verses of a song that I think helps at least me to understand even the question of why. And it's a song 456, and the title of it is Cast Thy Burden on the Lord. The first verse says, Christian, when thy way seems darkest, and thine eyes with tears are dim, straight to God thy Father hastening, tell thy sorrows unto him. That's the communication that God is looking for and desiring between his people and himself. It goes on and it says, not to human ear confiding thy sad tale of grief and care, but before thy Father kneeling, pour out all thy sorrows there. Now, I have to say that I still feel that I need my brethren. I still believe that we need each other. And I still believe that there will be times that we can express that sorrow and that grief and that feeling that we may be passing through. We can maybe share it with one another. But ultimately, we need to be able to cry out to the Lord. I will tell you this in my experience, that it seemed as though there were days that I prayed constantly and pouring out my grief and my sorrow before the Lord, and to the point that it was being ineffective. And one night, one evening, when Sarah and I were having prayer, and I had asked her for us to have prayer at the time, and I was in this state of mind that I could not rise above the moment. And when it came time to pray, she said, Mother, you aren't going to pray. You've prayed everything already. And she prayed, and the Lord came and helped me. So sometimes in our place, we can almost have vain repetition. I don't want to say it was totally in vain, but I had prayed the same prayer throughout the whole day, and I hadn't been able to get anywhere. And at those times, somebody else can pray, and the burden can be lifted. So we do still need each other, but we still need to cast all of our burden on the Lord. The next verse is verse 4. All thy griefs by him permitted. Needful is each one to thee. All thy tears by him are counted. One too much there cannot be. And if while they fall so quickly, thou canst own his way is right, then each bitter tear of anguish precious is in Jesus' sight. The last verse says, for too well thy Savior loves thee to allow thy life to be one long, calm, unbroken summer. There's an answer. When you're saying why, God is saying, I love you too well to allow your life to just be a beautiful, long, unbroken summer. I think there's another song that says something about our pathway not being strewn with roses. Well, it's not going to be an easy path. That's the reality. But he says here, I'm going to love you so much that I'm not going to let you live a life that's calm and an unbroken summer, one unruffled, stormless sea. Oh, that's what our humanity wants. We want everything to work perfectly and every answer to our prayers to come immediately and quickly. And we want all of our tears to be dried and our sorrows to be healed. And then it says, he would have thee fondly nestle closer to his loving breast. He would have that world seem brighter where alone is perfect rest. So some of these things, if you have to have an answer as to why, is because God is wanting us to look to where we're going and desire it. As another song says, I am waiting, I am longing for the summons to come. Some of these events that come into our life, it causes us to see heaven as a brighter place, as a place of reward. Again, I'm going to say this, that Sister Sherry had this dream of, she didn't see in the gates, but she saw the saints as they stepped up to the gates, and the gates of heaven were opened, and the expression of awe and shock of what they were seeing. I want to tell you, all that we pass through, heaven will be worth it all. I'm going to close now with the scripture from Hosea 6 and 1 through 3. And it says this, come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal. I'm telling you, you may as well count on it and expect it, that there's going to be times that you're going to feel that the Lord has torn you, but he will heal. It says, he hath smitten. And the reference on that was stricken. You may feel smitten and stricken, but it says, he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. And in the third day, he will raise us up. But this is the scripture I want to emphasize now. And we shall live in his sight, then shall we know the answers to our questions. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. I desire your prayers that I will stay steady before the Lord. Amen.